Wow, that was good, wasn't it? Very, very good. Excitement. A little bit like on the first Pentecost, as we are reading from the Bible and the Gospel and the Book of Acts. By the way, as we are preparing for Christmas, we read the second chapter of the Gospel of Luke, am I right? And then we keep on reading from the same writer, preparing for Pentecost, and this is going to be Acts 2, chapter 2. And Luke telling us what really took place, how it all happened when the Holy Spirit came down on the earth and down in the world. Now, yesterday, I went to one of the local banks here to do a little business, paying a couple of my bills, and they know me pretty well, and the lady who was serving me, she said, Reverend, what is for tomorrow? What's for tomorrow at your church? I said, today, it's a big day. It's the Pentecost. It's the church's birthday, so we celebrate Pentecost. Then I asked whether she's going to church, and she said, yeah, I'm going to church. And so I said, well, you too will be celebrating Pentecost. Am I right? You too? No, we are not Pentecostals. We are ordinary people. She got scared. I think we all, up to a certain point, Pentecostal, we ought to be if we believe that the Holy Spirit came down on the day of Pentecost, and that's where this all got started. Am I right? That's where our roots are. In the coming of the Holy Spirit. But sometimes we church members, we've been warned about things and we got scared and we don't want to even mention the name Holy Spirit. It's kind of sad, isn't it? It really is. Talking about us pastors and theologians, we have our own failures as well. When we preach about the Pentecost, the day of Pentecost, okay, trying to be very systematic, and try to be very orderly, put things in order, nice order. So here is God. God the Father, please sit down here. This is your place. And then we have a place for Jesus through our message. Jesus, please have a seat. And this is place for you. And then since this is a Pentecost Sunday, Holy Spirit, please come over here. I let you sit here, and I make sure that I present you all in a complete harmony and order, since this is the Pentecost. And then when you start reading the narrative of the first Pentecost, then you realize that there wasn't much order, really. It was pretty messy, after all. Talking about tongues and flames of fire and speaking with tongues and all these signs that the folks were witnessing and seeing, it was very confusing. Even disciples, apostles at that time already, remember what Jesus has taught. When Holy Spirit comes upon you, then you will be my witnesses. And then through many prophets from the Old Testament, the Church of Christ and the community of Christ were taught about the coming of the Holy Spirit and all the signs and marks that will associate with the coming of the Holy Spirit. Yet it was all new and confusing. It was far from being in order, in perfect order. No, it wasn't. It was pretty messy. So I'm not encouraging you to be messy in the church, but it's okay to be messy if Holy Spirit is empowering us and moving among the church, bringing us closer to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Empowering us. So don't be afraid. At least this is my kind request for you guys here at Berea UMC that if somebody asks whether you celebrate Pentecost, don't say that we are not Pentecostals. Say that, yeah, we really celebrate Pentecost because that was the day and the coming of the Holy Spirit. We believe in the Holy Spirit as the church has believed in him from the beginning. Now, Pentecost Sunday is a celebration of the descent of the Holy Spirit upon the apostles, first of all, marking the birth of the Christian church. That is when it all started, on the day of Pentecost. So it signifies the empowerment of believers to witness to Jesus Christ. Unification of all believers, despite of where they come from, what they look like, what their ethnicity or skin color, and so forth, so forth. Holy Spirit is uniting us, building us, bringing us together for one reason, to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and to serve this world for the mission of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit present in the life of all believers empowers us to love and share and to embrace all that is new. My question right in this, in the beginning of this about 70-minute sermon is that, are we longing for something new? Are we longing for something new? Are you sometimes tired for all this ordinary? That when you are about to come to church, go to church, you feel, well, I go there, but there's really nothing that much to expect. There's no surprises. There's no surprises. So you're longing for empowerment. You are longing for something fresh and new so that the Holy Spirit would be able to show you and guide you and see you something different so you can go deeper and grow deeper in your faith with Lord and God Almighty. What is Pentecost in the past and today? That's a big question. And I am not even trying to answer to all this in such a short sermon. But in the Old Testament, we all know in the Old Testament, Pentecost was a festival where every Jew who lived within 20 miles was compelled by the law to attend Pentecost services. Okay? If we were living within 20 miles outside of the festival place, you better attend because it was mandated by the law. Now, Pentecost in the Hebrew language means the 15th, or the 50th, excuse me, the 50th. And it was celebration the 50th day after Passover. After Passover. So in the past, Pentecost had a historical significance that commemorated the giving of the law to Moses. Giving of the law to Moses, okay? But today, in the New Testament context, we celebrate Pentecost for a very different reason. Today, we celebrate Pentecost because it marks the birth of Christ's church. And remember what Jesus says about his church in Matthew 16:18. Here's what Jesus says, "I will build my church. I will build my church." So whose church is this? It is the Christ church, am I right? "I will build my church," and here is how he continues, "and gates of Hades will not prevail it." Nothing can destroy Christ's church because it's been built steady on the foundation of Christ's word, empowered by the Holy Spirit, and sweeten it or salted by the love of God Almighty. And, of course, the pouring out of God's Holy Spirit upon all humanity. This is what Prophet Joel predicted and prophesied in Joel 2:28. So in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit came upon certain selected people, but on the day of Pentecost, he came, he was given upon all flesh who profess Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Of course, if we are to be a real Pentecostal this morning, still being Methodist, we are to say, have you been filled with the Holy Spirit? Have you been baptized with the Holy Spirit? Do you know who Holy Spirit is? Because, friends, our relationship with the Holy Spirit is a death and life question. It's a death and life question. Our faith journey is to build relationship with the Holy Spirit. That's what our faith is all about. It would make sense, truly, to seek deeper relationship with the Holy Spirit on this very day of the day of Pentecost as we celebrate. Like you and I, we remember from the schooling when we went to school. I guess we are attending school all the time, but I'm talking about the first 12 years at school. So we may have some challenges there. If you are a normal human being, you have challenges to learn some things. Now, some things are very easy to you, and some things are more challenging. And that is called lifelong learning, am I right? I don't know whether it was math for you. Was it math, or was it about talking about math? Was it subtractions, or multiplication, or maybe you were all good with those, but then came division. Or maybe it was algebra. Or maybe it was geometry or trigonometry or some of these. Maybe so challenging for you, so you need to really push hard to get through with it. Now, it seemed to be, to me at least, that the Holy Spirit is not all that dissimilar for us to learn about him. Namely, most of us are very, very comfortable on learning about the Father, God the Father. Seems like we are getting the concept of God the Father fairly easy, at least. Then when it comes to Jesus Christ, it's a little more challenging, but some people understand the concept of Jesus being the Savior and Lord. And then when it comes to Holy Spirit, it seems like it gets a little bit more challenging. It is hard to learn all about the Holy Spirit. It's a little bit different than the two other Godheads. Even to the point that there are even some denominations, the way I understand, who are not very comfortable about preaching or teaching about the full Trinity. They would like to put Jesus okay, right in the center, but then the Holy Spirit, I don't know what to teach. We don't know what to teach about him. So avoiding and being scared about teaching about Holy Spirit because we don't want to get in the middle of any problems. Being too charismatic or being too whatever that we don't understand what we are doing because we people, we try to explain everything out. Make sure that we are all good here instead of we struggle right here. And that's where Reformation many times go wrong 100 miles per hour. So Holy Spirit today in the life of the church, again, a big question, big topic. What is Holy Spirit in the life of the church today? Today here at Berea United Methodist Church, we are going to see that the Holy Spirit builds up Christ's church and believers. He builds us up. He's building your Christian faith up if you allow him to work on you. Sometimes we are tempted to give up when it gets a little bit difficult. We give up all the way and we walk out or we walk away or we distance ourselves from the Lord when it gets challenging, and that is so wrong. That is so wrong. So how Holy Spirit empowers us? What the Bible says about his role in our faith building?
Again, going back to the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 2 through 4, it says that Holy Spirit builds us up by demonstrating the power of God in us. Demonstrating the power of God in us. How often you have felt the power of God upon you? When you are powerless and you are running out of fuel and you are weak and you don't have that faith, guess who is coming close to you to empower you, demonstrating the power of God in you? That's Holy Spirit. That is His role. That is who He is. That is His job in loving cooperation with you. Secondly, Luke says in the book of Acts, in the second chapter, Holy Spirit empowers us by equipping believers for the work of God. Equipping, giving you ability and talents and gifts and wisdom to do God's ministry. Don't we need that a lot here in the church? My goodness sake. We do. We do. I remember my first sermon I preached, and it was in a setting where somebody got sick, and they knew about me, and they knew about my calling. I was taking my first steps in my calling, and then this much more experienced preacher, even he was there, he said, "You fill in, and you preach a sermon." And he gave me a little warning, probably a day or so, though, and so I wrote many pages, and I thought I can collect information to present my sermon, to preach my sermon. It probably is about half an hour worth or so. And I start preaching it through, and I notice that I have preached it, I have emptied my notes in 3 minutes. And I know it was very difficult to listen to anybody, even to me. And I realized that, Lord, if you don't equip your servants, whether it's the preaching or serving or singing or leading, whatever they are doing, we can't do nothing. We can't do nothing. And I was so nervous. I was so shaky. I know my presentation was so very uncomfortable. And I realized, and yeah, you say, well, you're just inexperienced. No, it was part of it. But I know that I haven't allowed Holy Spirit to really lead me and empower me. Same thing with you, my friend. It don't matter how much you have experienced, but doing the ministry of Christ in the church, you need Holy Spirit to empower you so you can serve beautifully and fruitfully Christ. And then one more thing. What Holy Spirit's role is in the life of the church is to convict sinners to return to God. How He does that? Convicting us. Sometimes putting His tender finger on our heart and saying, my friend, you are going wrong direction. You better come back to Christ. You better come back to Christ. And this is what we need during these days in the life of the church. That Holy Spirit does His job by convicting we all sinners to return to Christ. So the miracles of God do not just happen. They are the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the church, which can be clearly seen in our passage today according to a second chapter of the book of Acts. Then there are miraculous sounds in the life of the church, like there was in the early church on the day of Pentecost. Sounds, loud sounds, unexplained sounds. Sometimes there are not good sounds in the life of the church. Controversies and fightings and all kinds of discourse in the life of the church doesn't bring glory to anybody. At all, sounds in the life of the church that creates interest for outsiders to come to see what is going on in that community. What is God doing among these good people? Bible says that in the early church there was suddenly the rush of a mighty wind and filled all the house where they were sitting. Holy Spirit coming powerfully upon everyone. No, I believe this is true, but thinking about putting things in order in the presence of the Holy Spirit, it not may work okay all the time. Sometimes He comes very tenderly. You just realize I am in the presence of the Holy Spirit. You just know it. There's assurance. You know that you are. There's something now leading me, something empowering me. Something is really taking over my heart and my life. And you just let it go because you know it is the presence of the Holy Spirit. It was the power of the Holy Spirit even when expected catches them off guard a little bit. Remember what Jesus reminded them. But before many days, you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Another big topic. What is baptism of the Holy Spirit? We understand that there's baptism in the water. And what is baptism in the Holy Spirit? I believe it is when Holy Spirit, we allow Him to take it all over so that we feel He's on me and He's all around my life. I've been baptized in Him. I've been anointed and I feel His presence and I know I've been baptized with the Holy Spirit. We can explain about the signs all day long about this very experience. So the Holy Spirit demonstrates the power of God in the sound of the rushing wind or just the tenderly blowing into our heart and life, convicting us about something graceful and great. Then there are miraculous signs in the presence of the Holy Spirit. There may be some miraculous signs in your heart going on right this moment. And this is what we are witnessing in the life of the church. Sometimes we are so busy on doing something else that we don't recognize these miraculous signs, what God is doing among us. We need to kind of concentrate a little bit better and open our hearts for the presence of the Holy Spirit to see what all He is doing among us. I think we can say that the lady's cell this past weekend was one of those. You just don't make a plan to do it. You have to have people serving and being empowered by the Holy Spirit and willingness to serve and having love of God in their heart. Or the praise band singing or leading us. Or the Bible teachers teaching the Word of God. And you praying for somebody and he or she is getting sick or finding grace and hope while you prayed. There are many, many signs in the life of the church. And then there appeared on them tongues of fire. What was that all about? I don't want to make a doctrine out of this. But obviously it was an outward sign of something that was happening in their hearts and lives. It was a sign of the coming of the Holy Spirit upon these people. It was a sign that outsiders saw that there's like a tongues of fires descending upon these people. And all of a sudden they got excited and they praised the Lord and the name of Jesus was glorified. So Luke is trying to describe what happened. But this is similar to the baptism of Jesus. When Holy Spirit descended upon Jesus like a dove, people recognize that something is happening now. But here rather flames like tongues upon those people who were at present, according to the book of Acts, second chapter. And this fulfilling the prophecy of John the Baptist, Luke 3:16, saying, referring to Jesus, He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. When your life changes, when you receive power to be witness to something much greater than you can imagine. And finally, briefly, what is Pentecost here at Berea United Methodist Church? What is Pentecost for us? What is it? The Bible says they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. It was in the filling of the Holy Spirit they began to speak in other tongues and they worshiped God openly. It seems to me that they were
by that experience, their life was brought on a very different level. They saw much clearly, and their life, internal life, spiritual life, got more powerful. They realized what does it mean to be a Christian believer in this world. And they knew that this is all the new. This is all the new. I never knew about it. That was Holy Spirit ministering their hearts. And they get anxious. They got anxious to minister the surrounding community. Their witness was powerful. They start praying for the sick. They did unexplainable things in the name of Jesus, in the power of the Holy Spirit. It seems to me that the coming of the Holy Spirit was really a heart-opening experience to all those people at present. That is also for us here at Berea UMC. That is available for us, friends. Let me say this. The challenges of Christ Church today is not any less or any more than it has been during the history of the church. People may say that, well, things are today so much more difficult than they were 100 years ago or 500 years ago. No, they're not. It's always difficult and challenging to be a Christian in this world. To realize what Jesus says, that you are in this world, but you are not from this, of this world. So being a person, Christ-believing person, whose heart is in heaven, but feet are on the ground, and ears and eyes way open to see where the needs are, where I can serve by the grace of God. The filling of God's Spirit was so powerful, so overflowing, that they couldn't do anything else but they start praising the name of Jesus. And this is what good worship is all about. We praise the name of Jesus. I was just thinking about when I was preparing this sermon, for this sermon, that I haven't served in U.S. military, I have served in Europe. But oftentimes I have noticed that the United States will demonstrate a new weapon by doing a test fire, so to speak. Test fire. So the weapon is fired for not simply to see it works, it will work, but it is fired in order that the rest of the world will see that it works and we got it. I don't know if this example is working, but the miracles of the Holy Spirit are a little similar. The Holy Spirit does not simply do miracles. The Holy Spirit displays the power of God through miracles, pointing Christ for the world to see. It is Christ who we served. We are not serving these manifestations or signs or marks, but we are serving Jesus, and Holy Spirit is empowering our witness so that you can see who we serve and who we believe in. The Holy Spirit does not this for the sake of wow, but He's doing this to point at Jesus Christ, who is the Savior and the Lord. So, as we pray together, as we receive this message from the Lord, and as we are getting ready to go back to our mission field, we are to celebrate the opportunities and the power that God has given to His church to serve Christ. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We pray a little bit more after a little while. We continue at this time with the ministry of giving, if the ushers can come forward.